Yeah.
We may keep a, keep an eye on time, hope we get to.
I'll give you some.
Yeah, all the signs, okay. Give me all the signs. Did everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Generally, Mike stuck me in the slot here right at lunch. So I guess that means that if you're like me, sometimes after lunch, I don't want to get back to work. And I'm sitting there in front of the computer. I'm trying to keep my eyes open. So I break some toothpicks and prop my eyelids open. So like, no, it's not that bad, seriously, but I'll do my best to keep you awake. And try to teach you a little bit or show you what some of the things that I gleaned out of the study so far. I think Mike did an excellent job through the help of the Holy Spirit to pick the theme for this conference. Everybody agree?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but I certainly got a blessing just out of looking at it. And when I sat there and I looked at it, I got kind of selfish. I said, I'm not just going to take one of these things, I'm going to take them all. No, seriously, I thought it would be a good idea if maybe somebody, took all of these things and maybe went over them and very quickly do like a synopsis. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do today. Let me go through my list here, lest I get all messed up. Mike, thanks for putting this on, and thanks for having me up, and thanks for the privilege and the honor to speak here to these people, because you people mean volumes to me. I mean that. I love you all. By the way, of announcements, we're proud to have Tony and Candy with us. They came up with us from Myer Group, South Carolina. So that was a blessing to us. Always good to have somebody to travel with. I think Lori kind of gets tired of me. And her and Candy do tend to team up on us. So try to keep them in check. We've been doing a pretty good job so far keeping them under control. It gets close sometimes.
You think we believe that?
remember our group in South Carolina, too, as you pray. I know that you always do, and we do appreciate it. And remember especially Mom and Dad, and Larry's still recovering. I guess most of you, my father-in-law, had a stroke a couple of months ago. And we went down and checked him out. He seems to be doing pretty good. He still has a little impediment with his speech. But he's really come a long way, I think, since the time he had when we were down there. And it's affected his ability to speak enough to where he sort of has to now stop and think about what he says. Whereas, like, we just sit here kind of rattling and all, it's not all that easy anymore. So remember him. Mom's feet are doing a lot better. She's able to get around much better through your prayers and help and advice. So remember her. I also continue to remember Helen and Joe and any of the others that I don't know about. I know there are a lot. The Lord knows who they are. So remember all them as you pray. Remember also, almost skipped one. Congratulations to Bob and Valerie. I know we've already talked about it, but I'm happy about that. That blessed my heart to care about it, and we'll be praying for you guys, and we'll let and wish you all the best. Also, remember our upcoming Carolina Bible Conference. We could do a quiz on most of when we're going to have it, and it'd be like lots and lots of answers. The Lord has, I almost don't want to get up there and apologize for all the confusion on that. The lady that keeps the books, that schedules the place where it was, we learned something. If you're going to call and reserve the building, don't talk to her son. Talk directly to her. They evidently have two lists, and make a long story short, the weekend that we started with, we were going to have to split up and go to another place on Sunday. So what we ended up doing was sort of rescheduling the whole thing for the week after. And trying to work that out with the football schedule to get the motel with the correct price on the days. It's just been bad this year. It seems like Satan's done everything he can this year to throw things in our way. So pray for us that we would that we'll have a good conference, and we hope to see how you guys down there remember us. My website is proceeding slowly. We've got some of the stuff together, but I don't have it all yet. My goal is still to have something going up by the end of the year, if possible. Also, I'm trying to work on the copies of all the MP3s, which is kind of what this computer is doing here, so that I can get those to Bob, and we can start putting some of these even on the, with their help. Bob and I talked about this a little bit up at TFT conference. Try to get MP3s of all the speakers that you hear, where you can, if you have a broadband connection, where you can just click on it, download it, listen to it at your leisure at home. Or, you know, you can even download it, listen to my let's see, what else? Videos and MP3s. If you need any, want any, I'm pretty slow. So if you got a lot of patience, let me know. I'll get you on the list. I have made progress on my list. Since we talked last, I've sent out probably 15, 20 copies of the DVD. If you haven't got yours yet and you're on the list, hang with me. I'll get there eventually. My grandmother's taken up a lot more of my time than ever I imagined she would. But I'm not complaining. So y'all pray for me on that. Okay, I think we're ready. The theme this year that Mike chose, and I've already said what I think about the theme, I think he did an excellent job. The mysteries, the way he titled it in his sheet there was the mysteries of the Almighty God within the Holy Scriptures. And I think that pretty much sums it up. Turn with me, if you would, to begin. And I'm going to go through this pretty quick. I'm doing okay, I think, so far. To the book of Daniel. To start with this morning, or this afternoon. Book of Daniel, chapter 2. Now, everybody knows what's happened in chapter 1, right? Nebuchadnezzar's king, and he's taken us now. Well, let's read a little bit so that I'm not missing anything. In the third year, Daniel 1:1, third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And this happened over and over and over and over again, as most of you are aware, in the history of the nation of Israel. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now notice his God there in the scripture is a little G-O-D. And the king spake unto Asenath, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skilled in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So you see, Daniel is one of these lucky ones that get kind of chosen out, because he falls in this category of the children of whom there are no blemish. Actually, there was three of them. I think if you could go on. Over verse 6, it says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the prince, verse 7, of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. So everybody, you know, down through all of history, you know pretty much the story, right? And they end up, those are the three in the fire, right? So let's skip on over to chapter 2. Everybody knows that the king had his dream, right? You know, I like to use this on my work. And I tell them, if you want me to tell you, then interpretation, you're going to have to tell me the dream first, you know, like he said. And then a lot of times we kind of get into that. But here's what happened. The king had a dream, and it really troubled him. He couldn't understand what the interpretation was. And remember, he got all the wizards and everything of his gods together. And, you know, the king said, I need you to tell me the interpretation. And they said, well, king, it's kind of a weird thing you're asking us to do here. If you tell us the dream, we'll be glad to tell you the interpretation. And he said, nope, not going to do it. He's a little smarter than they were. He said, I think you lay in wait to trick me here. He said, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then tell me the interpretation. Well, of course, Daniel was, to make a long story short, Daniel was the only one that was able to do that. And everybody remembers the dream that he had, the image, the prophetic image, and, you know, the feet of clay and the legs of iron, I believe, and so on and so forth. But here is the point I want to get to out of all that. And I took you through a sort of a long, long path to get here. Is in verses 46 and 47. Look with me in chapter 2, 46 and 47. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and he said this. Now listen to this. This is coming out of the mouth of a heathen. He said, the truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Your God is a revealer of secrets. And certainly he is. If you look at this word, look at this word in the scripture. It's an Aramaic word, the word secret there. It's the word Rauz. It's spelled, I believe, R-A-Z in Chaldean. And if you look at the Strong's number, a lot of folks like to write Strong's number down, so do I. It's 07328. It's the Strong's number for the word secret there. It's Ross in Chaldean. And it literally means a mystery or a secret. So he told Daniel that your God is a revealer of secrets. And praise God for that fact coming out of the mouth of a heathen. Because if God wasn't the revealer of secrets, where would we be?
That's right.
Where would we be? I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be done by the night. If God wasn't the God of secrets, I'd probably be done. But he is a revealer of secrets. And since he is, then we have things that we understand of him that we would not understand ordinarily. My father-in-law grew up on Salem. One of his favorite scriptures is Psalms 50, verse 1. Everybody knows what it said, right? Yeah, it's like everybody's got it memorized. That God, even the Lord God Almighty, has spoken. And the fact that he has spoken and the fact that he has revealed these secrets is one of life's greatest facts. If he hadn't revealed these secrets, where would we be? That was the first point I wanted to make, is that God is a revealer of secrets. Now, the theme today deals with basically what I think is the Greek equivalent of this Hebrew word, Chaldean word, Ross. And it's the Greek word, Musterion. Is that right? Musterion? Musterion. Now, it also, it's the Strong's number for it, in case you're lit, writing it down. It's Strong's number 3466. And it's used 22 times. If you do a word search, and I've got a computer program that just grows up there immediately. Used 22 times. And I'll tell you what the definition of it is. It's from a derivative of the word nuo, which means to shut the mouth. Nuo, to shut the mouth. And it means a secret or mystery through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into religious rites. So it's like a thing known that's a substance, I suppose to be said. Anybody seen the movie National Treasure? It's sort of like one of those things where they're, you know, they got all this stuff that they found, there's this gigantic hidden treasure, all these clues. And it's sort of like that. It's these hidden things that are hidden like in a rite and a service. It's almost the general feeling I get when I read the definition of the word mysterious. Sort of like that. Like I said, it's used 22 times in Scripture, I'm sorry. And it's always, every time, rendered mystery. Now that's kind of unusual. Because usually in a word like this, they'll have several different English renderings of the one Greek word. But in this particular case, they don't. What I want to do is try to go through all the references pretty quickly here. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And what I'm going to try to do is for the benefit of everybody here, and I hope you understand that I'm not going to give you all knowledge about all these mysteries. If you're thinking that Ronnie's going to pull that one off, then you've got a lot more faith in me than I've got in myself. Because they're just, with the time we've got, they're just the time to do it. But I would like to touch on them in the hopes that you will take some little nugget from here that is said, and that it'll tweak your interest enough to where you're going to go home and check this out for yourself, and then your faith is your faith. My greatest prayer is that you would not sit here and just believe what I say at face value. And I get that from 2 Timothy 2:7. As a matter of fact, before reading Mark, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2 right quick. Sort of my teaching thing. 2 Timothy 2:7. What Paul told Timothy. Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things." I am not going to be able to give you understanding in all things, but there is a Holy Spirit that does have that ability to give you understanding in all things. The Holy Spirit can do it. So, my admonition is to take these as we go through, and if you have questions, go home, check them out, look them up. Mark 4:11, turn with me there. Like I said, there's 22 of us. I'm already down about a third of the time, so we're going to have to move fairly fast. I'm probably three along my list. Mark 4:11 says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." And normally what keys me to the fact that we're looking at a mystery is the word mystery. I mean, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? The scripture will come right out 22 times and say, hey, it's like a big sign. Somebody's standing there waving a sign in the airport. You know, I'm over here. It'll tell you here's the mystery. He said unto them, Mark 4:11, "And you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Everybody knows why he said this, right? Because there were things that, when they were revealed, there were some that weren't going to see it. They knew that. And unto them, they remained a mystery. Unto the ones that were supposed to see it, the mystery goes away. And it's an obvious truth, or it's an obvious fact. The next one is in Romans 11. I'm going sort of in the order that you would come upon them in the Greek text, Jack. And by the way, guys, everybody that's spoken up to this point, I have. I've already got my blessing. So I really thank you. That was everybody did an excellent job, and I feel blessed already. Romans 11:25. I can never say enough about these guys. You know, as many times as we do this, it never ceases to amaze me that we can all get together and find new things and find new blessings that we do and share the fellowship that we do. But it's like being home every time we get together like this. So I really enjoy it. And I really get a blessing out of it. Romans 11:25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be feed come in. So that's the second. Now, I normally like to read a lot more verses around them, but I think for time's sake today we're not going to have time. I'm going to go through them. So please indulge me and bear with me in just reading the one verse that has the word mystery in it. Romans 16:25. It's a couple of pages over, I think. Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This one throws me a curve worse than the rest of them. But I think I've got a handle on it now. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. The fourth one is 1 Corinthians 2. Turn there with me. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. 1 Corinthians 2:7, one of my favorites. Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Okay? The next one is 1 Corinthians 15:51. Turn on over to 1 Corinthians 15. I hope you're writing these down as you go. 1 Corinthians 15:51, and at the end of this, I've seen some things seem apparent to me, and when I tell them to you at the end of the study, they may not be so apparent to you. So if they're not this fine, we can talk about it, and like I say, this is my first look at the whole thing, so I'm certainly flexible at this point. I like to reveal what the Spirit shows to me. I tell Michael, I can go and look at what Bullinger said, I can look at what Welch said, and I can stand up here and just regurgitate that, if that's what you want. But I don't think it's what you want. What I think you want is what the Spirit has revealed to me. And then you can take it and let the Spirit maybe reveal the same thing to you. Or you may not reveal the same exact thing to you. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And I got to admit that had I been standing there when he said that, I think he would have had my attention. We're not going to sleep. We're not all going to die, but some of us may be changed. You mean I could be maybe changed without dying? Now, of course, this is another dispensation, but this was at this point, it was a real possibility. Paul believed this, or he wouldn't have said it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing. Now, one of my favorites, and one that we intend to elaborate on in just a few minutes, is Ephesians. Ephesians 1:9. Imagine that. I'll ask you a question. Do you think you could have a mystery within a mystery?
I'm sure.
Anybody think that's possible? Because I thought it was possible too. As a matter of fact, I think all of these other mysteries, with the exception maybe of Paul, will fit in the mystery that I'm about to read. The mystery of his will. And I'm going to read it. I am in this one going to read a few verses before, because I think it's important for the meaning. Let's start at verse 4 of Ephesians 1. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the Kabbalah of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, now what he's doing here in the next verse, in my mind, is he's elaborating on the mystery that he just revealed to you in Ephesians 9:1-9. And listen to what it says. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. And I'll stop there. In heaven and on earth? Now wait a minute, weren't we over in Colossians told not to set our affections at all on things on the earth? And I realize he's not telling you to set your affections on here. But what I'm trying to tell you, I believe, about this verse, let me read you the note that I wrote myself. And here's what I wrote on my paper. I believe this is the mystery of all in all. The manifold or collective wisdom of God in culminating his eternal purpose, which includes the sacrifice of his son, Israel restored and blessed, the resurrected dead, the church, the mystery of Christ, and the destruction of all things of the end. I believe all of that is contained in this mystery right here that we're reading. Now, Paul is going to reveal the mystery of the church, the body of Christ, and a couple of chapters. But I don't believe this is where he does it. Now, that's just Ronnie's opinion. Actually, I found three mysteries in the book of Ephesians. And I'll elaborate on that a little bit. Now you know one of them. I'll save the rest of them for the end. But I want you to read that, and I want you to read it sort of in the light that it's written. Because to me, the scope and the meaning of this mystery is much more inclusive. It's almost culmination of Abel's mystery. The mystery of his will, which is not only the mystery for us, but it's all the other plans of God that he has to work out down through the ages. You know, we tend to get a little tunnel vision sometimes. And rightfully so, because if you look at what we've got, we sort of exclude, you know, the rest of them like, you know, it's not going to happen, anything going to be done with them. And I know I may be overdoing that a little bit. But God's overall plan doesn't just include the church. There's a lot got to still happen with Israel. There's a lot got to happen with the rest of the dead. There's the destruction of all things that offend. There are a lot of things when we get it started that's going to happen. It ain't just the church. I believe the church kicks it off, and thank God for that hope, because it's the greatest that I find in the Scripture. But it's not all that I find in the Scripture. A lot of things got to happen. So let's move on. Ephesians 3:3 is the next. Ephesians 3:3, just a couple pages of it. You got real quiet. Everyone must be thinking about that one. That's good. That's good. Let's get that. Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote for in a few words. Now we're getting somewhere. Now this is ours. Now he's going to open the box and show you what the present is. But this isn't the mystery of his will, not the whole thing. I don't see it. Okay? Ephesians 3:4. Read the next one, send the next verse. Paul says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And this mystery of Christ, I believe, everybody that's been up here and said what the mystery of Christ is, I totally agree with you. But I believe there's a part of the mystery of Christ that has to do with the church, body, right? Because it certainly is mentioned in these. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much what I call it in my synopsis, sort of, is the mystery of Christ. That's the one that deals with the mystery of truth that we hold dear. Okay, the next one is Ephesians 3:9. Before I run out of time, I've almost built up more energy. Paul says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Okay, then the next one is Ephesians 5:32, which I believe to be yet the third mystery that you find in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you read this, let's read the verse. Actually, this is one we're going to have to read some of the text before it. Let's start at 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Isn't it? Church says it. Did anybody see anything about, I know we're making a parallel here, but I believe the mystery here, I believe it to be the parallel. The mystery is that the relationship of a husband and wife,
yes,
is like the relationship of the church and the head, like the church of Christ. That's the mystery. Because look what he said. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ and the church. He said, I'll show you another little mystery here, but the main focus is Christ and the church. I'm just comparing the things. Everybody see that? Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but I believe that to be a standalone mystery on its own. It's another mystery. Let's go on over to Ephesians 6:19. Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He calls it a mystery of the gospel, or the gospel here. The gospel that he has been revealed and is supposed to make known here. This is the church's body of Christ. I don't have a problem with that. So I would, in my Bible, I could almost write in there beside mystery of the gospel, it's the mystery of Christ. Church, by Christ. At least for me, I don't have a problem with that one. Turn on over to Colossians 1:26. Boy, I am running out of time. 10 minutes. Okay. Colossians 1:26. Yeah, I'm almost at the end of the list, too. Maybe we'll make it. It's already been read today. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Okay, Colossians 1:27, we'll continue right on there. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, the next one is in Colossians 2:2. I want to get them all in so you'll at least have a list of them. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Okay? The next one is in 4:3. So flip on over to 4:3 for me right quick. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 2:7. We're going to change gears here in a hurry. We just jumped from the mystery of Christ to the mystery of iniquity. And that is night or day and night. Big change in menu here. In 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In fact, I said we'll enumerate a little more on that one in our next session. Now, continuing on down, turn on over to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3:9, I believe it is. Paul says, in talking about the deacons, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, the mystery of the faith. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:16 is just on down the same page. And Paul says, without controversy, Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I love these mysteries that are self-explanatory in the same verse, don't you? Where, you know, there's no doubt. You know, it takes all the, everything is gone here. There's no doubt. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The next one is in the book of Revelation. Flip over to Revelation 1:20. And there's the mystery of the seven stars. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So there's another one for the self-explanatory as part of what the mystery is. Revelation 10:7 is the next one. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Okay? I believe this one, they're free. I'm just going to read them right now. We'll get into the synopsis here in just a second if I got time. Revelation 17:5 is the next one. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And then the final one, the 22nd one, in Revelation 17:7. And it says, and the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. God is indeed a revealer of secrets, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He just revealed 22 of them to us right here, didn't he? That's a lot of secrets. I don't even have 22 secrets. So, I've sort of grouped these together. Some of them, I think, and I'm going to do this very quickly, get through. I'll try to get through in time here. Some of these, I believe, are the same mystery. Some of them are different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put my name with them, and I'm going to tell you where I think they go together and where they don't. So, if you want to write these down, that would be great. Maybe we can talk about them later. But because of time, I'm not going to get to elaborate on them a whole lot. I believe the mystery of the kingdom of God is seen in two places. I believe the first one that is there in Mark 4:11. And I also believe it's the mystery of God that we're talking about there in Romans 16. At the end of Romans 16. Now, you may agree or you may disagree. The next one, and incidentally, on these mysteries, when you group them together, guess how many I was able to find? 12. It just happened to be 12. Mentioned 22 times. You may understand what I'm saying. The 12 mysteries are mentioned 22 times. The 12 mysteries as I see them. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way it's cast in stone. I'm saying go look. The second one is the mystery of the grafting in. Of course, that one's in Romans 11:25. I believe the third one, I sort of named it the mystery of redemption. And that one, I believe, is the one that I say in 1 Corinthians 2:7. Okay? The fourth one is the mystery of resurrection at his coming. That's the one he was talking about there while on 1 Corinthians 15. That was a mystery to those folks that was revealed. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I believe it can be called the mystery of resurrection at his coming. The fifth one would be the mystery of his will. And the mystery of God, I believe, to be the same mystery. And it's mentioned three times. That one's in Ephesians 1:9, the one that I talked the most about. It's also, I believe, the mystery of God mentioned in Colossians 2:2. And I believe the mystery mentioned in Revelation 10:7 is also. And the reason I've grouped these together is all three of them seem to have the common theme of all in all. They seem to be talking about the culmination of all things. And that's the reason that I grouped these three together. And you can call them the mystery of his will or the mystery of God. Either one is, I think, would be correct. The sixth one would be the mystery of Christ, and it's also called the mystery of the gospel that Paul was talking about. That's the one that we went over in Ephesians 3:3, 3:4, 3:9, 6:19, Colossians 1:26, and 1:27, and Colossians 4:3. That one, incidentally, is mentioned seven in Scripture. Okay, that makes sense, right? Mystery of Christ mentioned seven times. That sort of surprised me. The great mystery that we talked about in Ephesians 5:32, I just call it a great mystery. The one where he's comparing the relationship. The eighth one is the mystery of iniquity, which we'll elaborate on in our next study. That was in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The ninth one is the mystery of faith. In 1 Timothy 3:9, the mystery of the faith, I'm sorry. The tenth one is the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. The 11th one is the mystery of the seven stars that's mentioned in Revelation 1:20. And the 12th one, I believe, is the mystery of Babylon the Great. And it's mentioned twice. And both of them are back to back there. It's basically in Revelation 17:5 and 17:7. Count those up. I believe you'll get a total of 22 mentions of the word mystery. I'm pretty much out of time. Let me get out of the list here just for a second to make sure I hadn't mentioned anything. I think I brought to you all that I've seen so far on this. One point. All these mysteries that we've talked about here today, and all these mysteries in this study, are all of God. And the one, I believe, is contained in the mystery of iniquity, which I don't know what we get into. I believe God allows that mystery. I don't believe God created that mystery or that God revealed that mystery. That mystery, God knew it was going to happen, but God only allows it. Just like He allows this current age, man's death. What we're in. That's where the mystery of iniquity right now is taking its soul as a man's death. I think I've revealed the rest of these mysteries to you. Let's see. I think that. Yes. Any questions? I didn't give you the opportunity to get you out. Everybody get all that roadmap? It was.
I didn't get 1 Corinthians 2:7.
Number 2 and number 8. Number 2, I believe, is the mystery of the grafting in. And everybody understands that's what we were talking about this morning, where there were Gentiles being brought in, and he makes the analogy of the wild olive tree and the branch. And which one?
8.
Number 8, I believe, is the mystery of iniquity. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. It's a standalone. Anybody else?
So start at the beginning and start. Just read the title.
Okay. The title is like the mystery of the kingdom of God. Number 2, the mystery of the grafting in.
Slow down.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, could we get that on a list of many copies?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
That would be much easier. Anybody wants the list? I want that out of the way you see today.
You don't want to be like Moses.
Oh, yeah. Anything else?
Just to discuss the one that is in 5:32.
Yes.
That's this mystery of great.
Oh, is it?
God says that this is a great mystery.
Yeah.
But I speak to.
I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Correct. Yeah. That's only the one.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, oh yes, it's only mentioned once. And it seems to me like he's making that parallel to be a mystery also. And it's sort of comparing it to the mystery of Christ.
Right. Is that at all about the husband and wife of the medical?
Exactly. Yeah. Anything else? I appreciate your thought. I tried to pray that it's valuable pleasure. Father, we thank you for this day and for all that you give us, Father, for your word. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and Father, to speak to these folks. And we pray that the things that were said, Father, and the things that were done. received in the, in the life of my sin, we're intent to tell them that all things to be done according to your will and your purpose. I'll be with us in the furtherance of the rest of the city. We God bless us. For Christ's name, we pray. Amen. And thank you, Melissa.